www.mattsmith.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown Triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at Santa Anita and talking about house legends. We got Frank Miramati in the house and Vince DeGregory. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't have to do much, really. I just push these little buttons and they talk. Hammer, of course, here as well. And we're back for about 45 minutes of hour three, and a very good card. And you know, sometimes those cancellations, They don't hurt. I mean, we knew that there were going to be the fields for the stakes, but then the rest of the card filled out as well. So you've got a terrific slate of action, and I guess we should start with a little big cap thoughts. And you know what? I'll ask you both. Hammer's been asking this question all week. Favorite or most memorable big cap for the two of you, Vince.
Geez, I'm trying to remember the most favorable one. There's so many that I've seen.
You've
in
seen
my life,
yeah,
in 60 years.
There were some beauties over the years. Spectacular bid. You're going to go way before then, I'm sure. Vigors?
Vigors, Larry Sterling trained
that
horse.
Were you here that day?
Yeah, I knew Larry Sterling when he trained Vigors. I can tell you a little story about that, but it might take a little time. Darrell McHarg was riding him. And when I got fired by Pin K, Darrell McHarg called me to be his agent. He came out, and I was married at the time, and started getting him rolling, and we were second behind Pin K. And next thing is, my wife decided that she didn't like being married, so we were going through a divorce, and McHarg decided to fire me. So I had a vendetta against him. He was riding Vigors. And I took Chris McCarron, who bugged me, and I gave up Marco Castaneda for Chris.
Were you making this seem like this was some sort of a concession? McCarron, one of the greatest of all time? I mean, there are those who say he was the greatest of all time.
But when I took Chris, he Harry the Hat had his book. He just didn't get off the ground here. He had about eight winners and kept bugging me to take his book, and I did. Okay. And lucky enough, at that time, Elliot Birch was here from New York, who I knew. He had a stable of about 40 horses. I went by to see Elliot, and he gave us a chance with Chris McCarron. Of course, Chris kept winning, and that's how we got rolling. But then we got him going, and McHarg is now with Scotty McClellan, and I got that vendetta, and I'm after him. As you come up out of the corner over there with that little racing entrance office, he would come by on a horse, and I'd holler to him, "It's all right, Darrell. The redhead will be after you soon." He'd look around. I knew then I got him, because he was very sensitive.
Nice.
And every day we'd start winning, and I'd let him have it. Finally, we caught him. And the next day I said, Pretty soon, be look up his ass the rest of your life. And he looked, and he went wild. From that on, we just destroyed him. So now we're at Hollywood Park. And
the opinions expressed do not reflect those of Steve Bill. Go ahead.
So we're at Hollywood Park. I'm walking with Harry the Hat, and Dave Hoffman's had a barn across from Hollywood Park to stable out. And he said to me, as I walk in, McCarger's sitting on a bale of hay. I mean, I love you. We're good buddies. And he said to me, what are you doing here? What do you mean, what am I doing here? I said, Dave Hoffman called me about coming to ride some horses for him. So he said to me, can I ask you a question? What do you want? Are you going to go to Saratoga? What are you asking me for, what I'm going to do? Why don't you worry about your own business? He said, well, I'm going where you're not going. Oh, now I know I got him. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to Del Mar with McCann. We've got to get enough winners' money to go and hook my ex, Jock Cordero, in New York. So he said, I'm going to go to Saratoga. He went to Saratoga, Frank, and I never lived it down. He broke his leg, and he lost Vigors.
I'm so sorry.
So that's my story about Vigors. And to this day, Daryl and I are good buddies, and I'm happy that I had the opportunity.
Daryl, of course, you know, when I started working with him, he was my brother's favorite jockey, so I definitely was not on Daryl's side.
Outstanding rider.
Because, you know,
you're going to get competitors.
I was a Shoemaker man early on. Shoemaker McCarron was, and then when Gary Stevens got here.
I'm not going to get in the Hall of Fame. I said, yes, you will.
Daryl's a great jockey. And I'll tell you what he is also. He's the head of the stewards.
Yeah.
And he's a very serious guy when it comes to business. Like, he and I used to have great conversations, mostly during my 9 years at the Alameda County Fair in Pleasanton, because the announcer is 2 feet in front of the stewards. They're right behind. And one of my favorite moments of there, on a quick tangent, and it's gonna be real quick, was I'm calling a race, doing a bunch of different voices, and one of the stewards, Will, during the race, I could hear him at about the half mile point. He goes, "Who's that guy?" You know, just changing voices from thing to thing. Whenever that happens, you know it wasn't a very good voice. So, but anyway, Daryl McCarg was the guy that, as a steward,
outstanding jockey,
jockey, unbelievable. Great. Yeah. He wrote a lot of really. No, he wrote some great horses this time. And as a steward, you know, he's all business. Like the thing about him that I enjoyed working with, and I've worked with so many different stewards, but with him, we'd have great conversations, and it was right about the time I was going to Oaklawn, when we had, because he loved Oaklawn the time he had spent there. And when I was going there, he was really, you know, enjoying that whole topic. But when it came to business, he was all business. Like,
oh, yeah, he was.
Even though he'd be like your best friend, when it came to business, he let you know he's the boss. So one day he's you know, in California, the descriptions after the inquiry, whether there's a change or not.
He's married to Billy Passmore, who was a jockey back east. That's his daughter that he's married to.
Nice.
At that time. Now he got divorced and he married Bobby Wingfield's daughter. That's who he's married to now. But we're still in contact. We're good buddies, and I'm happy that he got in the Hall of Fame.
Marriage is for 800. Anyway, Daryl,
trainer's daughters.
I'm giving a all right. This trainer's daughter, based in Maryland, Anyhow,
who is
one day I'm he tells me about a deal to, because in California you have to give a detailed description as to why a horse was taken down or not taken down. And he said something like, shortly after the start, blah, blah, blah happened. This one veered in and so on and so forth. And I said, yeah, yes, sir. Thank you. And I went on there and I go on the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the stewards ruled that at the start, such and such. And right after it, he looked at me, he said, I didn't say at the start. I said shortly after the start. And I'm like, yes, sir. And so, but from that day forward, I learned, like, at the end of the day, the announcer is not here to editorialize. The announcer here is here.
Tell it like it is.
Correct. A lot of people just think that it's their microphone. They just turn it on and start piping off.
A lot of people.
And it wants to sugarcoat it.
Correct. Anyhow, so I, every time I ever did another inquiry, I said, excuse
You're
me,
careful.
Sir. Brought my pen, wrote it down, read it back to him, and went back. And we were fine. But that's the thing. Like, in the end, business is business. And he certainly conducts it. All right, let's talk about the big cap.
What was your favorite big cap?
I'll tell you. There were a couple that, first of all, we're in this section right here, which is section U. And whenever I'm here, there are two things I reflect on. One is winning colors, winning the Santa Anita Oaks. From this angle, I was actually right up here. And I made a giant mistake at the age of, 20 or was 1988? So it would have been, I was not yet 21. And I decided that Goodbye Halo, who had just beaten her last time. She was going to turn the tables on her. And I said, this is the coldest exacta since John Henry to Flying Pacer. And, excuse me, Spectacular Bit. Yeah, Spectacular Bit to Flying Pacer. So anyway, they're coming toward the quarter pole here, and I see Gary Stevens kind of let out a notch, opens up on Goodbye Halo, and like right here at the 3/16 in front of us, I can still remember Goodbye Halo was all washy and done, and Winning Color started jogging, and all of a sudden, you know, look, the finish line is a long way away. I ran as fast as I could, and even back then, 100 pounds ago, I wasn't very quick, and I ran to the TV to see right at the wire, Jeannie Jones nails Goodbye Halo.
Goodbye Halo,
and I turned a 6.80 winner into a loser. That was a good lesson about take your horse to win. But when I look at this section up here, probably around section R, I was on that top row when Bates Motel made his move. And I wasn't a crazy Bates Motel fan. Like I wasn't
Bates
like one
Motel.
Of them. But what
John
a giant horse.
That horse.
What a giant horse.
He was a huge horse.
And just to watch that move. And that's the beautiful part. Like, you know, I was here with my parents for both of John Henry's big cap wins, Steve and Hammer and Vince. But you know where I watched him? I watched him on that clubhouse television when you walk up those stairs right where the restaurant was. I wasn't wise enough to know back then. Like, you got to, this is the race. Like, I'd see him in the post parade and I'd watch some race study. You're supposed to come outside because when you come outside, and I encourage the fans.
Yeah.
When you come to Santa Anita, I'm telling you, right here at the top of the stretch, sections R, S, T, U, that is where you can see the race developing. And then in the end, you're always going to be able to watch the replay on TV anyway. Uh-huh. And we have the Jumbotron in the middle. See the races from this vantage point, and you'll have memories for a lifetime. Spectacular Bid was the best I ever saw in terms of any horse. But when I look through these the winners, and I was asked this by Millie Ball a few years back, Sir Beaufort, one of my favorite horses, I was actually doing race results for the aforementioned Horse and Jockey result line for that year, calling that race in different voices from down the street, listening to Kaywin. But to me, you know, Best Pal was a monster. He was one of my favorite horses of all time. But the year before, if I have to pick one, it's Farm Away, because Farm Away had that amazing campaign, Hammer.
Bid,
when
was that, 91?
That would have been 91. Good man. And the thing about it was, he had won the San Carlos. He beat Frost Free Sprinting. Then he stretched out. He beat horses like Quiet American and Flying Continental and such. But then when he stretched out to a mile and a quarter, that was one of the most incredible campaigns and turnarounds of a horse for the great Hall of Famer and living legend, Dwayne Lucas. What he did with Farm Away was just something just you don't see.
That was the year of that ACRS, the American Championship Racing Series.
Right, because he went to Pimlico,
he came to
Oakland, I think.
Right, Oakland Handicap.
Away from him.
I think Lucas is still giving him trouble for frying him the day that Feston mowed him down.
You know? If you're going to mention Farm Away, owned by?
Farm Away was owned. I remember his silks.
Yellow,
like
silks,
yellow with
silks.
Yeah, Quarter B Farm, George R. Bunn. I didn't know that answer until I looked it up right now.
The Bunn coffee equipment.
Oh, wow.
Two M's?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. There have been some. The fastest one around here. I wouldn't doubt.
Gary Studi, earlier this morning, was poking fun at Sadler and said that he needs a little bit more time to decide if Flightline's the best he ever saw compared to Spectacular Bid. He said, you know, I got to watch Spectacular Bid train, so I'm a little biased, but I need the benefit of some time. So come back to me in a few years, and I'll decide if Flightline was better than Spectacular Bid.
I agree with that. Shu probably could tell you how great Spectacular Bid was.
We were lucky that we got to see him.
I found his big cap program unmarked, so it must have been my mom's, because I used to have a few choice words for some of my picks that didn't do well as a youngster. But what a great horse he was.
But he dealt
and look,
a great
to
job
be able to
him.
Do what he did, running the 7 furlongs and 120 in chain, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the world record performance in that great four-horse field with Relaunch setting the pace and Valdez and Flying Pacer in the Bid, 57-4 world record.
Oh, yeah.
That race, when I made a tape for Trevor Denman imitating him, I did it right here in these in the TV department. I was working
Flying
for Sports
Pacer
Channel.
He was a cab driver, wasn't he?
Of course.
Gordon Campbell trained that horse.
And
Jerry Lambert wrote
it. I made that call in Trevor's voice
John
for
Pierce.
Him and sent it to him.
Didn't Pierce ride Flying
Pacer? McCarron was on him some of the times, but I think maybe Pierce.
But you mentioned him earlier. And you know, as a California guy, it's like you're rooting for Flying Pacer. And, oh, he finished second. Okay, next time. He's going to get him next time. And then You'd beat by two lengths, then he'd get beat by three. And they got a little closer, and then, I mean, just, I mean,
what a great
tore the
horse
heart
he was.
Right,
I know,
tore the heart right
it's
out
sad
of him.
That he couldn't get, because he was so good and just one of the all-time greats. You know, he goes down as one of the best cowbreds ever,
right? I think
right?
so.
I mean,
no
Best
doubt.
Pal would have been great.
You know. I don't know if Best Pal could have beat Flying Pacer, personally. I think Flying Pacer was better horse.
Nice.
I think, as a competition.
But what a great card we have, and, you know, to have the privilege of, you know, being a kid and being out here for those races and, you know, watching Vigers when I was like 8 or 9 years old, and then watching the bid and all that, and then to be able to be up here to call them, it's really hard to
How
describe.
Lucky are we, Frank, that in our days we'd come to the races every day, there'd be 25,000 people here, 50,000 on the weekend, all the time. I mean, racing was so, everybody was, they wanted to be at the races. I don't care who the person was. All the ball players that I knew had to come to the track. And their days off. They love horse racing.
Of course. I mean, the turf club
the
and
greatest.
Such must have been the who's
no
who of the
it.
People that would come out to Santa Anita. And same with Hollywood Park. I know John Forsythe was on the
John
board of directors.
He was
a big-time guy. I met Vic Tabak of
Mel's Diner.
Mel's here. He used to come out to the track here.
And then
Kelly Savalas was always here.
He loved it.
Who loves you, baby?
Jack Klugman.
Right.
He smoked the lollipop. He smoked that.
Somebody's got a horse named Jack Klugman that just ran the other day.
Jack Klugman.
I hope they named a good one if they're going to name it for him.
Exactly.
Jacqueline Klugman. That was the horse's name.
Yeah, Jacqueline Klugman.
I won a few stakes on him.
Owned by El Rancho de Jacqueline.
Correct. And Jack was my good buddy. And when he bred the horse, I'm from somebody, nobody. I said, where the hell did you get this horse? Oh, but then they tell me he can run. Raleigh Kofor had him at that time. But I had McCarron, so he finally put McCarron on the horse. And we win the cowbred stake here the day after Christmas. And then we wind up going to the Kentucky Derby with him. And then after the horse was done, he said, I got a share for you. Share for what? Who's going to buy? Going to breed to that sucker? He's from nobody by nobody. He said, well, you don't want the shirt? No, I'm not going to buy a mare to breed to him. I don't think he ever had turned out any horses that horse. I don't remember anybody. But Jack was my buddy.
Let's talk about some of the things that are going on from a wagering perspective and from a television perspective. From 4 to 6 Eastern time, which would be 1 to 3 Pacific. There's live racing on CNBC. And then, of course, FanDuel TV is going to have, you know, coverage from Gulfstream during that time frame. And then there's going to be the Coast to Coast Pick 5, which has actually become a very popular. And look, reading the payoffs for that Coast to Coast Pick 5, they've been really, really good payoffs. Those are a combination of races from Gulfstream as well as it's only 15% on that. It's a great bet. Yeah, no, it's a good bet.
Okay.
But Gulfstream and Santa Anita and Hammer just handed me the list. Of the races. They got the Devona Dale from Gulfstream, the Buena Vista from Santa Anita.
Oh, that's great.
And then the big turf
Mac,
race.
The Mac
Yeah, Mac D-A-R-M-I-D-A.
McDarmida.
Yeah. Yeah, I did the same thing.
Exactly. You only have Mac. And,
I know, because I know how to spell it.
No, it's good. Mac D. And then the San Felipe here, that's a great race. And then it closes out with the Fountain of Youth.
You got the F-O-Y, I was going to say. I hope you didn't say Foy.
Foy, yeah. Oh, I'm very familiar with the Fountain of Youth. And what about the
having
big
a great
It's a great betting race,
morning.
Right?
It's a lot of
have
fun.
Have you made your decision?
What's a great betting race? When you don't know who's going to win?
Well, great betting race is when you're not going to get some 4 to 5 shots.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Or...
If you're right.
Actually, to me, believe it or not, and this is going to make you laugh and it's going to make people cringe, to me, a great betting race is when there's a 6 to 5 and an 8 to 5 and it's only those two and you got to decide which one you're going with and then you step on the gas.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm just kidding. Great betting race is like, who's going to win? I don't know.
Look, a lot of people that love big fields, I mean, there's certain horses in all big fields, and of course, we all love big fields and we all need big fields, and it's been proven over time. You get a good $25,000 claimer, field of 12, you get a grade 1 field of 6, you won't believe that on a big day, you'll be amazed at the handle. Because of the combinations and so on, and people love a price. But the truth is, a lot of those horses have absolutely no shot. So keep that in mind as well.
I'm waiting. John White has, I'm sure the morning line will come out early this afternoon. For
a little scratch time. They do the 2-day scratch time here, which I don't understand.
By the way, it's been great to
so tomorrow
have John back on the show, and I've really enjoyed listening to him because he's
a treasure.
The other day, he came over to my house and We just spent a few hours. He brought me some of those racing forms that he had shared with you guys, and we just sat down and were reminiscing, and he knew that bringing me old big cap forms from those days in the 80s and such would bring a smile to my face. And I could look at those things.
I know. I
look at the maiden races. You find some obscure horses and some future stars, like Turkoman in an allowance race, things like that.
I love that. That's the best.
That, those are the funnest times. But John puts so much time, and he's so careful about everything that he does with the line. He's really a friend of the better in such an emphatic way.
Doubt.
He is the most dedicated guy. He just works so hard.
Let me ask you a question about a horse that's going to be a price, and I'm curious what price you think it's going to be. Scarlet Fusion.
Scarlet Fusion for Joe Sharp, I would say he's going to be a very high price, would be my guess. I'm going to guess... I'm going to say he will be, even higher than that. He's got to be 30 to
20,
one.
25.
At least 20, yeah.
Is that what it is, morning line 20?
No, there's no morning line yet.
Yeah,
unless John
says
one.
I mean, he's won four races, I understand, and Joe Sharp is a great trainer, but this horse is coming off the Connolly on turf at Sam Houston, and before that he's running he was soundly defeated by Bal Harbor in a $200,000 stake at Oakland. You know, he's going to be a huge price.
I'm interested.
Okay.
I find him... I've got my question mark and my dollar sign next to it, and that's a horse that's going to find himself somewhere on the play.
Well, the thing about it is, this race, and it's a big full field, but a mile and a quarter.
Yeah,
you know, look, that final eighth of a mile. There are a lot of question marks in here.
The men from the boys.
Exactly, and you have a horse like Defunded, who going a mile and a quarter. He tried it once and he finished second, and that was in the race that he was beaten by There Goes Harvard, who ran a good race, and he's in this one too. But last time out, look, he ran a great race in the World Cup, finishing second. But at the end, he was drilled, and Art Collector ran a humongous race that day. Defunded is going to be a tough customer in this race. But, at least he was able to, he's not having to go to the front. So, he has that speed, but he can also sit second and so on. But that final eighth of a mile, man, there are some nice horses in here that are proven stayers.
What about last year's runner-up?
Last year's runner-up in the
Warrant.
In the big cap is Warrant. I think he ranks a very, very strong look in here. He lost a heartbreaker last time, and Express Train was at the top of his game and beat him. But Warrant ran his eyeballs out.
Also, note that Cox brings him here in the exact same fashion,
yep.
Second off the layoff. It's got all the makings.
To me,
right?
Yeah, I think he's huge. And I'll tell you a horse.
What's he going to be price-wise?
I would say he's going to be
4-1?
3-4. Yeah, I mean, certainly no higher than I can't imagine. I mean, look, he's coming off a 1-5 victory in that allowance race, and then, before that, last year he was 4-1 in a smaller field. But he'll be right around. You got Pratt and Cox gets bet. But I'll tell you the horse that I thought maybe under the radar and has every right to improve and really didn't have the best of it last time is Proxy. He's got a tough post from the outside, but this is his second start off the break. He was regarded pretty well last time out. And he was just 5-1 that day, and he's got a good kick. And I know they were disappointed because he was really never in the race. And he goes from the inside to the outside. I think he's got a chance here, legitimate chance.
Well,
yeah.
Johnny gets back on board, and I'm going to bring. It's funny, the three horses we just talked about all have an angle that's got to be discussed, which is horses that haven't had their training interrupted. These are all horses that are arriving here that have been trained up to the minute. As opposed to the rest of the field of eight, the other eight horses that have been kind of sitting on their hands.
Well, it's funny that you all mentioned Shippers and
Ship and Win.
Ship and Win. I mean, it used to be the other way around. Anytime a horse left California and went somewhere, you better bet on them. And now it's over the last few years coming in. You really got to take a look at the ones that decide to make the move here. Look at Proxy. His last work was on the 25th, okay? No big deal. But a lot of the locals, they haven't really had a solid work for at least a week before that.
Let me ask you a question, Hammer, from all your years of doing your job. When it comes to big races like this, obviously the money is the ultimate answer for a lot of people. But shipping and making that decision, what goes into that? How far ahead would you work on something like this and cultivate to try to get people to point in your direction over all your many years of doing this at so many different racetracks and obviously mostly right here? Like, how would that, how much do the people want to know who the others are, et cetera, et cetera. How does that whole process work? And obviously your stakes coordinators that worked under you would handle a lot of that. But in the end, you're talking to some big-time horsemen.
So in a meet, no matter where you are, you have three or four big days, big races, and this obviously would be have been one of them. So the race has constantly been the first weekend in March. So believe me, since December 26, you're thinking every race around the country, who runs good, put it in their head. You're not going to call them the day before nominations close and, hey, what about the big cap? You might read a little snippet in the paper where somebody makes a quote after a race. Boom, you're on the phone to them saying, hey, I heard you said that the other day. You got to constantly put it in their head. You know, people like Brad Cox and all that, they got a plan, right? Look at Warren. He's got a plan. When you see him out there still live, he ran good last year, obviously you're going to call him and say, hey, keep that in mind. Guy like Mike Stidham, you know, they did the right thing here by him. They skipped the Breeders' Cup. They went to the Clarks. They're obviously like poking around looking for spots. He didn't run, you know, he didn't run his race, but he didn't really run a whole lot. So he's live. So you're getting on the phone after him. Hey, sorry you didn't run good. Hey, what about my race? So it's a constant cultivation. And some guys you make comfortable when they come the one year, it makes that, and they run well. It's so much easier to call them the next year and say, hey, why don't you come on? And then the other thing, which you try and do is, oh, by the way, we got a couple other races that day. You want to put one on the boat and come with that one too. So it's a constant, but you might say 6 months in advance.
6 months, that's
you know, but you might make the relationship with the trainer necessarily.
And then you start talking about some of the other races
exactly.
And then look at what else.
Yeah, so it's a constant. When you talk about, oh, we got to recruit. Recruiting isn't a one-trip flight to Saratoga. It's a constant meeting. Oh, I see him at this race, see him at that race, shaking hands, get to know people. You know, it's horse racing, but it's a people business. We use that line all the time.
Yes.
But that's what it is. It's just to get to know. People want to be comfortable with you. But like you said, one thing you never want to do is when you're asking a guy to ship 3,000 miles and they ask you, hey, who's in the race? Oh, nobody. Don't worry about it. And they ship out here and they're 20-1. You want to let them know. No, seriously.
No, you got to be honest.
You can't do that.
It's relationships.
That's what it talks about. It's like you might tell them, look, you're going to be fourth choice, but you got a shot here. That's a difference. You know, you can't tell them you're going to be 4-5 and they're, you know, 15-1 and you know, they run up the track. That's the worst thing you can do to somebody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marv Albert along with Steve Bick, Vince DeGregory, Rick Hammerly, Frank Miramami, and of course, it is time here at 285 West Huntington Drive in beautiful Arcadia with the San Gabriel Mountains. Finally, some good weather here to introduce the senior vice president and general manager, a man who has been in charge of marketing for so long, and he is now the big cheese. Here's Trevor Denman for the intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now welcome Mr. Nate Newby.
Thank you, Frank. That's tough to follow. I can't.
He dropped the mic.
I picked a bad spot to come in on this show.
He dropped the mic.
Right.
He did the mic drop. And he actually bought a what did you bring? Pistachio loaf.
Pistachio, like pistachio bread, which was out of this world.
Wow. Nate. He's chilling up with gifts, Frank.
Frank always comes. He'll come. He's sweet, sometimes sweet, sometimes savory.
He likes to change it up. That's good. A little early for pizza, but...
It's never too early for pizza.
It's my bad.
It's too early for hot pizza. We're right in line for cold pizza.
Cold pizza.
Now.
Great to have Nate stop by. We gave a big push to the contest, and it should be great. The Ultimate Betting Challenge.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a good weekend. Great cards at both Santa Anita and Gulfstream. So, you know, I think the contest hopefully will get. We have a couple scenarios in the rules. 175 prize pool would put us, you know, basically at 175,000 in prizes. I think that's very realistic. So you could win your BCBC seat, your NHC, and your Pegasus. The winner will actually get all three plus cash. So
sweet.
It's a contest that I think guys are going to really swing for, plus the $5,000 bonus on track.
The on track is a nice sweet. That's a great suite.
And that's at Santa Anita and Gulfstream. So we'll have a good crowd here. Weather's looking good. Finally getting a break there. So we're looking forward to a fun day. We're going with the kitchen sink approach to marketing Big Cap Day with just promotions and everything we can think of similar to opening day. And that strategy worked pretty well opening day with 41,000. So I think we'll have a good crowd. Maybe not quite that, but hopefully, you know, during COVID, Big Cap got a little smaller, as most of our days did, but we're looking to get it back and hopefully 25,000, something like that, here on track.
Well, and then it's really just part of a series of the big days, because we're just a few, 4 weeks out from Derby Day.
Yeah, right into Santa Anita Derby Day, which will be, you know, maybe our biggest day of the year.
Having last week... No action. I mean, hoping some people out there starving to get out, not only get outside, but, get coming out here to play.
Definitely could be some pent-up demand. We seem to work that way. When the weather gets good and people have been locked up out here, especially for a week, they're looking for something to do, and, we're going to give them something on Saturday.
No doubt. The other elements as well, you mentioned Frank actually went through the TV coverage that will augment, and of course, the clever weaving together of the Pegasus card, and then rolling in everything moving, through these dates, Florida Derby at Gulfstream, I'll be there for that, and then of course Preakness at the back end of what's become a racing tour, which was really I'm a big proponent of tying things together and providing a horizon for horse players and fans, and you took advantage of your marquee events.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The big days in racing have just gotten bigger, and so we really went with that approach to try and tie as many big events together and really give fans at least once a month a day that you just can't miss. So that's the theory. It should be, and it should work out well.
Outstanding.
Well, they're going to have to go to the ATM, and it's a long day. Like I said, the 14 at Gulfstream, and then 12 here. But like you said, it makes the big days bigger. They work, and it's a good day to tie it in.
Yeah, save some money to the end of the card. We finished with the Kilrow and the Big Cap. They're both part of the Golden Hour Pick 4, so you don't want to be out of bankroll when you get to the end of the Santa Anita card, because there's some good opportunities there, absolutely.
speaking of those races, maybe had a few down years with COVID and whatever it was. People weren't shipping that much. It was hard to get around. But the Kilrow has every horse in there is a graded stake winner, which is pretty good. You don't see that. And in the Big Cap of the 11, there's 9 graded stake winners, 3 grade 1 winners in there. So it's a very contentious, you like to see a bunch of ones when you're handicapping a card. And so a lot of the horses are in form, and it's, like Frank says, good betting races.
Absolutely, good betting. I looked at it a little last night. There's no standout, and it's some interesting shippers with Proxy and Warrant, and I think I don't know what direction it'll go, but it's I'll be excited to watch it. That's for sure.
I'm sure it'll come up tomorrow, and I imagine that I haven't reached out yet, but Brad Free will join us. There's one race on the card that with all the concentration on the San Felipe and the Grade Ones, there's a race that is being not overlooked, but people may not have gotten to yet. It happens to be the 4th, and it's a Calbred first level allowance that is going to pit Bus Buzz from Steve Knapp and the returning Kangaroo Court for Yakteen. They've got the same style. They both broke their maidens in smashing, gigantic open length victories, and Kangaroo Court is giving some recency away to Bus Buzz. That Bus Buzz I talked about when he broke the maiden, I happened to see the race. And I was like, where'd this come from? I said, this is not just a nice Calbred. 93 buyer. Kangaroo Court, an 81 buyer, as a 2-year-old at Del Mar. And so these two are lining up in the 3 and 4 hole, and nobody's thinking about this race. This could be a spectacle, frankly. And Frank, you got to be ready for, I would imagine, a shoulder-to-shoulder battle.
This is a great showdown. First of all, Bus Buzz, part of the greatness of the Calbred program, and also the pedigree. It's a very interesting story, because Terry Lovinger claimed Lost Bus for $32,000, the dam of Bus Buzz, and then unleashed this guy who just smoked his competition, and he took control immediately. When I see Kangaroo Court, I remember the old Kangaroo Court, which didn't have the it was just Kangaroo Court. That was the famous horse, Johnny Longdon horse, that nailed Shane Kite in that big race many years ago, when Sandy Hawley put away the whip and so on. But this, look, the Calbred program, and of course we're in California, and the CTBA awards are on Monday, and we're very dependent on the Calbreds, but we're starting to see these cowbreds get better and better each year and stronger and competing at the highest level. It's always tough when you break your maiden and then you all of a sudden have to tackle winners. This should be quite a showdown. But sometimes in these hyped out showdowns, when they're young in their career, Nate, they go out there and all of a sudden maybe you want to find someone that has a little bit of stamina in the final stages, maybe someone. But these two have some serious gas.
Hard pressed for me not to be rooting Bus Buzz home. Lost Bus the Dam, the late Gary Sherlock, who was as wonderful a man and horseman as any of his generation, and is missed here and anywhere else. I mean, a guy, when I would come here, he would, on race day, he would call me into his box and come sit down, come talk to me. And he, you know, one of these people that reached out to you and wanted to know what you were up to and how you were doing. And it wasn't bullshit. It was just, he was such a wonderful guy and a fabulous horseman and a guy who could make a bet.
Oh yeah, can certainly feel your intense emotion there, and see it too. So good for you for giving him the love that he deserves.
Buzz, come out of the nowhere. But what about this horse on the butt out? We're talking into the, we've broken into this. Catalina Eddie, who ran second to Buzz, he came back for Craig Lewis and broke his maiden on the turf. Looks like he might be able to run a little bit as well.
When he's bred for the turf, he's out of a Johar mare, which you don't see that too often. Only my man Chuck Simon would be breeding Johar mares. He's a huge Johar fan.
When you take the elevator to the press box and you walk toward the, when you get off of the press box and you walk down the hallway, picture. Johar's picture is waiting for you right when you get started on that beautiful row of pictures over there. So certainly a horse that makes us all smile. But look, this might be the kind of race where a horse like Catalina Eddie, who showed he could win on the turf, he ran okay in his debut. I mean, and then he was hammered when he ran the next time on grass. But he might be sitting a perfect trip in this situation. So it's going to be interesting to see. But Buzz is one fast. Here's the one thing. Going into that race, they knew Buzz was very fast. But they wondered whether he was going to be ready to uncork it first time out. So one would have to think he might even be stronger second time out. Because he didn't look like a horse who had just, was gassed at the end of that thing. That horse sizzled home.
One thing we got to do. I got to get Doug O'Neill. We got Doug, he's not here physically. We're going to call Doug, and I'll put him on the speaker so that everybody can listen in. But I got to kind of round with this morning. Of course, just it did figure to get. Yeah, I figured we would get loose on the lead on the lead, exactly, and I don't want to say blow the turn, but it's pretty close. What the hell? There we go. Let's get Dougie, because we got just a little less than 10 minutes. Let me use that, and we'll. He's going to be disappointed. He's going to be disappointed that he wasn't there. I told him who all was here. But tomorrow's weekend preview, and then we got too much handicapping to do. Tomorrow, Doug O'Neill joins the party. Doug,
hey,
wherever you turn up, there's a party. Nate Newby, Frank Miramati, Hammer, and Vince DeGregory all on hand.
Oh my God, the legends! I don't know how I'm not worthy of this group, but I'm honored, and this sounds like a riot.
Well, the same could be said about Hammer and I driving the Pacific Coast Highway, and Hammer has the kind of kooky notion to reach out to Mark Verge and to see, we were inches away from his beach house, and we walked right into a viewing party for the Henry Q, the horse that wins not just wins the Mind That Bird Derby. Todd Fincher, you sent him down to Todd Fincher, and 93 buyer, and clearly the favorite for the Sunland Derby, and you guys were beside yourself with that 14-length romp.
That was so great seeing you and Hammer, and Mark Verge is the best, and he's got an absolutely beautiful home there, and right on the beach in Santa Monica, and it's a great group of guys that own Henry Q with Mick Cronin, the basketball coach at UCLA, and Chip Kelly, the football coach, and Rick Pitino, and just a bunch of cool guys, Ernie Markowski, and so just a great group of guys. There's nothing better than to have that group be aligned with a really good horse in Henry Q. And, you know, if he stays injury free, I really think you could see him the first Saturday of May. I mean, he might be a big outsider, but he's got the pedigree. And like you said, he ran a 93 buyer. He's got the ability to shock the world on any given day.
Well, it was excited for you guys where, you know, you were confident, but I don't think you expected to win by, you know, a dozen plus lengths. So there was lots of celebrating going on, and then the phone call started coming in. You're also going to try to annex the San Felipe on Saturday with Calumet. He's got Bluegrass Go-Go.
Yeah, you know, he's a horse that, he's definitely has talent, and I don't know how far he'll go, but Mr. Kelly was just great for the sports, got so many horses, and he's very patient, does right by him, and when they're doing well, he likes to take a chance. So we're definitely taking a chance here and pulling the blinkers off and seeing if we can't carry his speed the whole distance.
Well, the big cap day, and you've had your share of successes on the big days like this, but obviously things are going all right. How have you dealt, and you didn't have to worry, one advantage of sending Henry Q down to Sunland, you didn't have to worry about interrupted training at all with the weather.
I know. Yeah, Mother Nature's definitely been tough on the racing world and out here in California, but, you know, credit to Nate and the management. You know, those are hard decisions, and they definitely upset a lot of horsemen, but at the end of the day, they're doing what's in the best interest of the horses. I think we all completely understand that. We just get frustrated when we can't get our horses out there exercising every day. But you know, we're back to some typical sunshine here in Southern California. Hopefully that hangs around for a while, and look forward to having a great weekend of racing at Santa Anita.
Well, Doug, you know, we're going to keep to the theme of the week that is seemed to be talking to Hall of Fame nominees, which you are again, congratulations, and how all these California nominees have all won the Santa Anita Handicap, which of course you did with Lava Man, and congratulations on the Hall of Fame nominee again, and we were blessed to have all these great trainers out here in California, you know, one after another, and you know, you can't pigeonhole yourself either. As all these guys, they win races, all kinds of things. Of course, you've won yourself a couple of derbies, you know, with I'll Have Another at Nyquist. You had the great Lava Man, who's still making news today. And, you know, just how do you feel about having that nomination come your way again?
It's incredible. I mean, there must have been a lot of drinking in that selection committee to throw my name out there. But I'll take it. But now, you know, just having an honor like that just reminds you how many amazing people that I've been able to surround myself with. Leandro Mora being key number one. I mean, the best claim ever. So he's the main man. And then just all the great owners and the grooms and excise riders. So just been really blessed to surround myself with a lot of great people. And because of that, we were able to luck into some really good horses. And as we all know, all of us in this group here, we've been in the game for a long time. You're only as good as your horse. So, but with the top people we have surrounding me, when we land on a good horse, the horse gets the best care. They know, you know, we all have a pretty good idea of the daily exercise they need to compete at a high level. So, and just being out here in California, I think so much of Bob Baffert's success has been able to, for the most part, other than these past couple weeks, you know, we're able to really train at a high level on a daily basis with the great weather we usually get out here. So, yeah, what an honor. But I'll tell you, nothing better than I'll give all that away to have the moments like we had the other day here a Tuesday afternoon at a friend's house with all you guys around. That was a riot.
Doug, Frank M. here. I just want to tell you that, you know, you're so humble and you always give credit to your team and to Leandro, who's an amazing horseman himself. But, look, you know, there's an old thing in life. They say, let your performance speak. And for you to do, you know, what you have done and continue to do at the highest level, I'll tell you one of the things I love the most about you is just watching you from afar. When you're in the winner's circle, the Run Happy winner's circle, when I see that and I see that you're, you know, the way you interact with the people, the energy that you bring, I mean, you're such a positive guy. And this business has so many highs and lows. You know, it's really a testament to your character and your desire. But you pass it on and make people love this game, and that's what it takes. And so you've put yourself in a position to succeed, and give yourself a little credit. You're obviously an incredible horseman and a great people person, too. So you're the whole package, but the energy you bring is infectious. And so I just wanted to pat you on the back as well.
Frankie, it means a ton coming from you, because I look at the same with you. You got great energy and love for the sport, and you're a great ambassador for this great sport and for Santa Anita. So, thank you for those kind words. And I think all of us, to be able to work alongside horses and get paid, it's like, really, it's pretty. We're all pretty darn blessed. And I appreciate you, Frank. Thank you, brother.
You got it, my man. Keep up the good work. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Doug, I got to ask you about one horse that isn't in the entry box, and I'm wondering if Pride of the Nile is just going to work up toward the Santa Anita Oaks.
No, because of Mother Nature, they moved the Santa Isabel to Sunday, so we did enter her today with Hernandez.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So,
but like every other horse at Santa Anita, you know, her exercise pattern has been a little screwed up, but she's coming out of her skin and doing well, and we're really optimistic and excited about Sunday.
Well, multiple graded stake placed, including in the Grade 1 Starlet. I was at Los Al for it, and then second as well in the Las Virginas. So we'll watch for, and there was three stakes on. There's three stakes on Sunday.
We brought two back.
The Baffle and. Was it Sweet Life?
Santa Isabel and then San Simeon.
There we go.
So it should be a great day of racing Sunday, and Friday and Saturday aren't too shabby either. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Doug, I just wanted to make sure to get this in before the end of the week, and we'll see you tomorrow and Saturday. Get lucky, and thanks so much.
You made my day. Thanks for having me. Take care, you guys. See ya.
You bet.
Sorry, man.
He's so much fun. He's just, I know, you can.
He wants to participate. That's the thing. Whether he has a horse in or not, he's participating in some way, and he's making. We always kid, Steve and I, if you want to have fun in this game, not worry about too much, go to Doug O'Neill. On the East Coast, you want to have fun and, you know, go out to dinner and go to Gary C.
There you go.
We always say that. And
that's just, right.
They're contagious. You can't not have a good time at the races with either one of those guys.
No, it's funny. At the end of the day, you look down the Santa Anita Grandstand, and there's always one suite that's still going strong at the end of the day and having fun. That's Suite One with Doug and his crew. So they have a good time, and like Frank said, it's infectious. So.
Well, this has been infectious, a rollicking hour and a half, a little bit more, because we got Vince Gregory going at about 15 minutes into hour two, and we parlayed it into an hour and 45 minutes, kind of a round robin, and I can't thank everybody enough. Vince Gregory, Vince DeGregory. Did I say Gregory?
Yes,
just Gregory? I left off the D. leave off the D for. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, Vince DeGregory, Nate Newby, and Frank Miramati, and of course, earlier we had a wonderful visit with John Sadler early this morning, right? And Pat McKenna as well.
And tomorrow will be deep dive into the.
It's all handicapping.
It's all handicapping tomorrow. So
replay 6 to 9 Eastern here on SiriusXM. 3 to 6 Pacific time on the replay, and then we'll pick it up at 6 a.m. here, Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. Twin Spires weekend preview at the races tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Hope to have as many live visitors as possible. Get some opinion from Gary Young, I hope, and Brad Free, and much, much more. Thanks, everybody. Fellas, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.